Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. on calbanyan.com. And this is part three of a very, very special series I'm doing with Will Horton, Dr. Will Horton, PsyD. I'm not going to do a whole bio because it goes on and on. If you're watching this and you haven't seen part one or part two, you need to just hit the pause button, go there, get part one. In addition to getting the bio, of course, you're going to learn the quick submodality shift NLP technique. You're going to, then in part two, you're going to learn timeline therapy step by step. And then in this program, we're going to get the thought stopping process. These are things that you can use on yourself right away today to making yourself a happier, better person, and then you can start using it on clients as well. I'm so fortunate to have Will to do this three-part series, and even more fortunate to have him come to our center to do his ultimate basic NLP training on June 19th, which is a Friday, through June 22nd, which is a Monday this year, 2015. And you can get all the details at calbanyan.com/NLP. Hey, how you doing, Will?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Gosh, you've just got me all revved up here.
Oh, great. Yeah. I love this.
All right. Hey, so I think that one of the coolest things about NLP so far, that for me, is, you know, because, you know, I'm first and foremost a hypnotist. And secondly, I'm a trainer. And I watch so many people graduate certification course, I mean, just really good hypnotists, and they could always use one more marketing technique. And I'm just thinking about, man, you're out there, maybe you run into someone at the mall, or you get a referral from someone, but they're kind of, I don't know if I want to commit to this, or maybe even, how do I put this, you could just actually use it as an intake process, as a convincer that, you know, what you do works, right? To lay one of these quick NLP techniques on them, and then they just say, wow, I do feel a difference, and then want to do a series of sessions with you as a hypnotist. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because like I said, if you're in I always think of Starbucks or a coffee shop, and you start a conversation with somebody or just start chatting, and they're in some kind of difficulty at the moment, if you can make a little shift, you know, they're much more like, wow, that's really cool. And then they'll ask more questions. And then you can lead them into a session if that's appropriate. And sometimes just play it forward. You might help that person and it ripples forward through time.
You know, both of us are veterans. You're an Army veteran, I'm an Air Force veteran. And I'm a member of a motorcycle club that's made up exclusively of veterans. So I see people struggling with, a history perhaps of stress or PTSD, or dealing with, you know, not full-blown PTSD symptoms or feelings of guilt or, you know, all these different things, or maybe just the stress of getting reconnected out of the military environment back into, normal citizenship and stuff. And you were telling me that this thought-stopping process would just really be primo for that.
Right, and, you know, I was thinking that because, I went through the VA protocol of how they work with PTSD, and I thought it had a lot of wonderful things in it. But it's a 12-week protocol. Well, what if you don't have 12 weeks? Again, like we're talking, somebody's in difficulty. And so I started thinking about it. There's got to be something we can do. What's the normal? I always think of, you know, let's look at some examples of how people make changes, right? And so I started thinking differently and put aside the normal stuff and go, okay, what might work? And then I was talking to several guys here locally that I know that just got back from Iraq, and they've been in Iraq and Afghanistan. They served together. And to show you you know, people go, how bad is PTSD? Well, you know, we were talking, one reason I started talking to them is they had this, and it's a passion of mine, so I'm talking to them, you know, and we're going to do some work, but we were just talking, and we decided to go to get some coffee. Well, they wanted to take their car, which is unusual because they want, you know, one of them wanted to drive because he couldn't ride in someone else's car. Great. So we're in the car and we're talking. Well, they were telling a little bit about some of their experiences in Iraq. And so, you know, of course, that did a little mini regression on him, right? It was these two guys, they'd actually served together once over there. One was a major, one was a sergeant. When they served together, the one was a captain. And, you know, that was in a Ranger unit. And they were driving. And so since they were telling the story, those of us that understand, you know, regression kind of stuff, they give themselves kind of a natural instant regression. They were back in state, right? So anyway, we're driving to Starbucks to get some coffee. And we pull up to a stop sign, right? And there was kind of an overhead above, you know, down the road a little bit. But the stop sign was like right here, and there's an overhead. And we pull up to the stop sign, and they both look out, check everything, and the one goes, clear right. And the one went, clear left. And they both looked over, and they go, clear over. And then we went through the stop sign. And I'm in the back going, these guys are stuck, right? These guys have a stuck area in their mind. Now that we'd have to, you know, we could work with. But as we started talking at a Starbucks, one of them really had a problem with, he would get stuck in a thought process, you know, which would lead to more thought process. You know, could I have done this? Could I have done that? Could I have done this? You know, it had to do with the mission where they lost one of their brothers. And, you know, coulda. So they would get stuck in this and they couldn't escape, right? And they didn't want to do traditional where, you know, they have a tendency to over-medicate people. So they didn't want to do that, right? They didn't, and this is what I see people naturally do. Or they over-drink. You know, they start drinking alcoholically. Are they alcoholics or are they drinking as a stress trigger? Well, you know, they had been dry for a while. Now they're back to having these thought processes, right? So we're sitting there and, you know, I was about to go out of town, so I didn't have time to do a big thing on them. And so the one guy said, well, let's try this. And I've done this technique several times with a bunch of other people, and it worked. And here's the technique. I had the one guy close his eyes and imagine what is something that he would scream no to and mean it from his core, from his visceral gut, you know, like, no, right? And so he went, what do you mean? I said, I don't know, if you're standing there, right now, if we were out front of the Starbucks and this little kid started running into the highway, we were right on a highway, would you yell, no, stop? No, he goes, I'd scream it to my core, right? Because he loves kids, as we all do. And he'd yell, no, stop! I said, okay, close your eyes and imagine this happening. Imagine this happening. This little kid's about to run into the street and you yell, no, and stop, because it's for the kid's highest good. And you stop him, because it's for his highest good. He wants to go play in the street, but you stop him, and then it's better for him and everyone else. Can you do that? And he went, yes. And I said, well, yell no. And he went, no. I go, that's how you'd yell no? Right? So by this point, we'd stepped out of Starbucks. So he went, no! I said, okay. And I was doing a quick anchoring on him. I said, now yell it again. Imagine again. No! So we anchored it a couple times. Great. So now we had no. And it's for the best of the child and you. Great. And what we'd done here, we'd split his consciousness. We had him go into not what we'd call traditional hypnosis, I would say, but an altered state where he's thinking about thinking. You know, it's hierarchy of thought, which I'll teach in the basic NLP. Because you're thinking about thinking, you're not experiencing the feeling, right? And also, he's making some what we'd call meta decisions at this higher level of like, no, it's better for the child and everyone to not do this. So by yelling no, it was a visceral response. It was true, total truth. Great. Now, I asked him to think about something he would say yes to. And I didn't care what he would say yes to. And I mean a visceral yes. You know, I didn't care where he took it. Of course, he could have went down, you know, with his girlfriend route, or I don't care, a good steak dinner. But what would be something you'd say yes to? You know, like Cal, you might use taking a nice long ride up Highway 1 on a beautiful day, right? You'd say yes. And you'd mean it, right? And then I had him do that a couple times. So he's going, yes, yes. I said, okay, now we got this. Now try it. I said, this is just kind of cool how your brain works. I always soften it with, this is cool how your brain works. I said, now I want you to think about, you're sitting at home. This usually happened when he was alone, right? So I said, imagine you're sitting at home alone and you start thinking about that mission that went bad. And he goes, okay. Now I want you to, as you're thinking about it, I want you to yell, stop, or no. And he went, no, no. I said, now think about it again. And then he yelled, no, no. I said, okay, now open your eyes, close your eyes. Now think about, in your case, or I would say right now, taking my little sports car for a drive. Yes, yes. Okay, great. Now here's what we did. We just put them together. It's collapsing anchors, we'd say in NLP, but it's also a thought stopping, which was he started thinking about the mission that went bad and he yelled, no. Then he instantly thought about what he chose, which, tell you the truth, it was actually a steak dinner, right? You know, and all the stuff he liked, and he went, yes. So I said, okay, open your eyes, close your eyes. He did that. And then I said about the mission that went bad, no. The thing he yelled, yes. We did that 3 or 4 times really quick. I said, now leave it alone. Leave it alone. Let's see what happens, right? Well, I was actually going to go do a conference. So I was gone like 4 days. I came back, ran into him, and, you know, we met for coffee again. I said, well, what's happening? He goes, it's weird. I haven't really had that thought, you know. And he goes, the one time I did, I decided, you know what? He called his girlfriend up and said, let's go get something to eat. And he goes, it was wonderful, right? And so that was a quick thought stoppage because it gets him, it broke the thought pattern. That's one thing that a lot of like clinical psych might teach, but you also got to take their brain now in a different direction. Or they may revert back to the negative thought process. So once it was stop or no, I like no, and then we go into yes, you know, it shows your brain there's a different way. And especially at the highest level, hierarchy of thought, it's a meta state where it's like, no, this is not good for the ecology of anyone involved. And he understood intellectually that replaying that mission over and over again did no good. And so it began to break that anchor, as we'd say in NLP, and it gave him some different choices. And now it's been several months, and he's, you know, the bouts are very rare where he gets stuck in it.
You know, as you're talking about that technique, it just really encompasses a whole idea of neuro-linguistic programming. I mean, this whole idea of using words, you know, linguistic and neuro, the brain, and then reprogramming, right? Running the different neural connections. I think that's a really great example.
Yeah, because he was stuck on a program. It would start writing like a self-generating program that he needed to stop. You know, and his answer before, he went into, finally got help a long time before, a few months before I met him, his answer before was once he'd start that process, he'd start drinking, right? Now, guess what? And this shakes my foundation as a traditional addictions counselor. Once he began to fix those underlying issues, he never wanted to drink. It wasn't that he was fighting a drink. It wasn't that he was, you know, anything, because he'd removed the stressor, and he was drinking as a stress response. Well, that the you know, it wasn't needed anymore, so he just naturally quit drinking.
Well, you know, when you work at the underlying cause level, what happens is they no longer need to always be an alcoholic. I mean, they could actually become like everybody else because the trigger is gone, or the emotion that they're trying to medicate is gone, so the drive to abuse is gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and he, you know, because I asked him, is there any alcoholism in your family? You know, because if it's the genetic thing about your liver with how it breaks down, especially alcohol, he goes, no, nobody in his family that he knew of ever had a problem, you know? His dad, and he knew his whole family. So I said, so that there's some current research that, you know, is pointing out there's only that small genetic subset that has a genetic twerk where their brain gets hijacked by alcohol or drugs. But for 90-something percent of the population, if, like you just said, if you remove the stressor, if you remove the trigger, if you remove that anchor, then it resets itself and it's no problem.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Hey, so just a quick question. So, you know, we've gone over in part one the quick submodality shift. We've gone over in the second one timeline therapy, and then now the thought stopping process. Are you going to? Can you go into more detail in the regular class, and so that we can actually practice using it on ourselves and stuff?
Oh yeah. Well, it starts with like you know, just basically how NLP works. You know, how your brain sorts and uses information at a general level. You know, the visual, the auditory, the kinesthetic, the olfactory, which is smell, gustatory, which is taste. So we begin to break that down. Then we have these different levels, like, you know, the represent, how your brain represents this. Then, as you said, with the linguistic side, how we use language to represent these things in our brain, right? And then we begin to go into things like strategies. How do you decide what you're going to do? I mean, everybody watching this video, if they're thinking about taking a class, if they go, you know, this sounds really good, I could say, well, you know, tell me about the last time you really took a class and loved it. You learned something, it was applicable. You know, how did you decide to do that? You know, you got some information, maybe you watched a video, you talked, you know, it was from an instructor who recommended it that you trust and admire, and it was easy to make that decision now, right? And so basically that's a strategy. How do you decide what you're going to do, right? And then we go into a lot of the NLP techniques. We start with information gathering and a very fast, effective way you can, which will shift a little bit of how you think about gathering information from your clients, your customers, your friends, your family. And then we get into all those techniques that NLP is famous for: the swish, the visual squash, the new behavior generator, the fast phobia technique, you know, the mending a broken heart, the self-appreciation, self-love exercise, all these techniques. Then once you have the framework, then you understand these techniques, and then we can add to it. And we're practicing it in the real world. I always say, work on things you're really working on. You know, if you have a block, like you're having a financial block, let's work on that while we're in the class. If you're having a relationship block, let's work on that. Confidence block, let's work on that. So not only are you learning the skills, you're actually growing as a human being.
Wow. You know, as you're saying this, I can just hardly wait for the class to get going. And you folks, you want to go to the link below, or just type in calbanion.com/NLP to get all the details on this. And if you act right away for a limited amount of time, we're going to have early registration discount. But I tell you what, I expect this class is going to fill up. It doesn't matter about the discount. We're only going to have about 18 to 20 students max in my classroom. That's what's comfortable. And there's a number of reasons why we keep it that low. Will, what's the biggest class you ever taught?
The biggest class I ever taught was 300 people.
Wow. So imagine this, being in class with Will Horton, getting the kind of personal attention you can get in a classroom where there's like 20 or less people, as opposed to these big classes that people have really, you know, traveled for and have packed in for to get NLP training with Will. Will, is there anything else I should ask you before we wrap up?
No, I think we've covered a lot. And you know, one of the things I like teaching about classes, you know, in that, you know, 20 or so range is I can give the hands-on training. I don't need, several assistants, you know, helping me, or, you know, co-trainers, which I like using. Don't get me wrong. They're great. But when I teach a smaller class, I can really delve in and do it. And then I'm working, too, while the class is going on. You know, that's one of my joys. I can work on things while I'm teaching it, because I think we grow together. I learn more when I'm teaching a class than I can possibly give back. So that's how I grow and multiply and morph my trainings by really training. There was a couple of years I didn't train that much, and now I'm really jumping back in because I see a need for the cutting edge 21st century NLP. And so, like a lot of things, to go back to my martial arts, you go back, you look at the basics, and you tweak those, and then you teach the new stuff. And so that's what I'm excited to do.
Right. Perfect. And at our center, you know, our center is, the full name is the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services. So we have a dedicated classroom. We have dedicated practice areas where you can break up into groups of three or four, whatever you want, and then work on these techniques. So you can teach it, break to work on the techniques, Will can walk around, make sure we're doing things right, and then come back to class and, you know, ask questions, and everyone benefits. I just think it's going to be absolutely astounding. All right. Thank you very much, Will. I'm so much looking forward to seeing you in June. You guys out there, I always say, let's do great things together. I'm going to be in this class. I'm going to be a student just like you, and I'm just excited to learn this ultimate basic NLP certification. And, you know, I can put the quotes around basic because it's an ultimate basic class, because he's going to use NLP to teach NLP, which means we're just going to be able to soak it up better. It's going to be, you've heard Will. He's got examples and stories, real life examples of everything he's going to teach. So it's not going to be like sitting in some dry classroom. So once again, thank you very much, Will. And I want to see all you folks. As soon as you can, go to calbanion.com/NLP, because this class will fill up. And if you act right away, you may be able to get in on an early registration discount. All right, that's it. I'm so excited to finally accomplish this. I can hardly wait till June. It's busy time because I've got a class, my Week of Power class coming up next week. I've got certification courses coming up. But this is the season of investing in yourself, be it basic certification in hypnosis and hypnotherapy, or be it advanced certification in hypnosis and hypnotherapy, or be it adding you this valuable tool set called NLP. Okay, that's it. See you in class. Cal Banion signing off.
This recording is a property of Cal Banion and the Banion Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.